Hey, there you are.
How are you?
Good.
I'm solo today. I'm solo.
Well, you are.
Dave had a baby boy over the weekend.
Oh, congratulations to him. How wonderful.
Yep. That's his number 3, and he said he's done now.
3's a good number.
Yeah. But everybody's doing fine. And then Emily is in a some kind of manager's thing going on.
Good.
So we've got a one-on-one.
Okay.
So a couple things just to
what's in your mind?
So with our buddy Sam, we talked to him last week.
Yeah.
And so as you know, these gene therapy stocks have been in the news in the last month because of all these takeovers. The large pharma is buying them out. And so that's why Sam's stock ran up to like almost 30, I think, at one point.
Right.
So anyway, but that's very positive. But so his, I think we told you last call, he has been entertaining some offers for a CEO position now.
Right.
And he's totally on board. I mean, his company, with the current CEO, with the board, he's been up front. They support him in this, venture, blah, blah, blah. Excuse my cold. He just told me, though, he said, from a month ago, he was, maybe entertaining 2 or 3. He said it's up to, 10 in the last month.
Really?
Seriously. I mean, and he said he's narrowing it. Right now, there's probably 5 that are leading, and he does think within 3 months, he's going to probably take a CEO position.
Wow.
I know. And so that's going to be exciting. So one of the things that, his concern is, what does he do about his fixed stock? Because once he leaves, he gets it all. He's no longer subject to any of the, and he just want to know what her options are to try to hedge, to try to, what he should do. So we actually did a call with one of our girls on the desk, Jen, her name is Jen Van Nest, and she's the head of our equity strategy on dealing with this stuff. So we just had to do, call, walk in, try to get where Sam is coming from, what his thoughts are. And
how much money will it be?
Well, it's 250,000 shares. So depending on the price of the stock, right now it's between 5 million and, change, 5 and 7. It could be higher. I think he'd like to just put some kind of a floor. But he wants the upside.
He wants the upside?
Yeah.
Huh.
I think he believes. Lunch? Huh?
You tell him there's no free lunch. You got to pay for insurance.
Well, that's what we talked about. That's what we discussed.
Right.
So we basically went through all that, and
you can always buy puts. Somebody even on the private market will sell you puts,
Right.
You just have to have, it's got to be a legitimate trade, and it's got to be somebody that's really got the stock, and you got to tie it up and all that. But I don't know. Is there a public? I don't even know if they trade options right now.
They don't. They don't.
No, I wouldn't think. So it'd be a private. It'd be a private put.
Yep. Yeah.
And you just buy, if he doesn't want to give up the upside, then you just simply buy the, have a program where it costs him some money all the time.
Yeah. So we walked him through 4 different scenarios of that. And, we're going to have a call again because it's, still a few months away. He can't do anything. And then Jen did tell him about there's, I guess, another rule. Even 60 days after he leaves, he can't do anything. There's some kind of securities law.
Yeah.
We'd still have to report, did all that other stuff. So, Sam is a very detailed guy, and he just wants to have, his ducks in order on what his what his options are. So,
what do you think is the best thing for him?
Well, I think we got to protect this. And, you know, this is his largest asset now. I mean, there's no question about it. He's going to go into another venture, and he said he'll get 4 to 5 times the equity that he had at Homology.
Sure.
So he has the ability to really capitalize on the next move if it, you know, but again, you know that area, and Sam does too. You know, he realizes that it's only, you know, a failed test away from the stock collapsing.
Right.
So anyway, I just do think, you know, we're going to have to, you know, protect it, hedge it in some way, and maybe, you know, keep a piece of it just, you know, unhedged so that he can you know, get the full upside on it, but just protect most of it for him. But
yeah, if you sell calls against it, you know, if you do a caller or you sell puts and calls, you're gonna collect enough on the upside to pay for the downside, and you still got a spread. But you got to let some of it ride with just puts in order to capture the upside. So the question is, you know, you got to ask him is look him in the eye and say, you know, the stock goes to 60, how pissed are you going to be that you hedged it?
Right, yeah. No, let's put it this way. We're starting that discussion. This was the first round, and we're going to continue that discussion. But this looks short, I mean, and on a, shorter time frame than we thought. So he's thinking by June that he might be in a new position. But the next company, like I said, that's going to be his home run. Potentially, because his track record. So what I don't know if it's going to be another gene therapy company. I would assume it's going to be something similar. But he has full support of his board and full support of the company. They're encouraging him to do it.
Well, so it's good for everybody. Let's face it. It's a networking world. And, you know,
yes.
When these guys, one company comes along and Amgen buys, Fix,
then
they'll also buy his company down the road, you know. So you're everybody.
Oh, yeah. And these are all going to be up. They're all in Boston. All of these offers are. They're all up in that, you know, the biotech area up there. And you're right. These guys all know each other. They've all worked, they collaborated, at one point or another. So so we're kicking around. And, like, one of the things, how can we leverage this? And my thought is, and Dave said, well, let's meet with the other executives and everything else, you know. And I said, well, we got to do the right thing for Sam first. We do that, take care of him, and then we have the ability to say, we don't want to. I mean, that's my thought. What do you think about that? Is trying, getting the other execs, because obviously they're being, somebody's working with them. When we went up there, we actually asked Sam, we just had the handshake and introduced each other, I think. So this is my thing where I'm a little, I have some trepidation. I just want to do the right thing for Sam first, and then let everything go from there.
Sam's a separate issue. You don't need to do Sam first at all. Sam's not going to feel like if you are doing business with somebody else, you're not taking time with him.
Right.
Okay? So
I'm talking about even like asking him, say, introduce us to this guy. What's your thoughts on that?
Sam already likes you. He
right.
trusts you, and
yeah.
he will introduce you. Just think about his board, okay? Is his board upset that Sam's being introduced around?
No.
Okay, so why would Sam be upset that you are being introduced around?
Yeah. Okay. You see, that's my mindset. Right? I guess I'm true.
if nothing else, it's a very good opportunity to clear your mind of a false premise.
Yeah.
It's just a false premise. You just made that up. Larry Wilson used to say, most of us have an advanced degree from MSU, making stuff up.
Oh, God, yeah.
And it, what it does is that that story that you're telling yourself reinforces what you really want, which is to hide and stay safe and not be put yourself in a position where you're at risk. So this is the story I'm telling myself, and I've convinced myself that it's true.
Yeah.
The reality is Sam likes you, trusts you, and will introduce you, and those people need you.
Yeah. Interesting. Well, right. that's where we're at with that. And, I mean, this is going to take off. I mean, Sam is taking off like a shot. And I said, and I told him, I said, Sam, you know that if you take this job in June, you're going to have to make sure you have a previous commitment that, you know, this, he goes, oh, no, if I get this new job, I'm already telling them. The weekend of June 7th, 8th, and 9th, I'm already booked.
That's so funny.
So he's all in for, you know, to continue this tennis stuff.
Right. Look, Rick, isn't the most important thing in a financial advisor that you trust him?
Yes.
Okay, so Sam trusts you.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the guy from Goldman Sachs comes in. Can anybody really trust him? No.
Right. So to get that, I'm way ahead of the game.
You're way ahead of the game, and you don't do anything where the, you know, you get introduced, you offer your assistance, and you simply, you know, Sam, you know, you just tell him the truth.
Yeah.
Sam's had a good experience. Sam trusts us. I'd really like to work with you. We have some great solutions if you'd like to hear them.
As simple as that. But, you know, that's, I think, you know, I was reading the book, and I think the book is great. How's your reviews on that? Is it coming out? Are you getting feedback?
Well, first of all, I need one from you, okay?
Oh, okay.
So when the call is over, I want you to go to Amazon and write the review.
Okay.
All right? And then I want you to get Dave to do the same thing.
Okay.
Because I've only had 2 reviews.
Oh, really? Oh, God, yeah. All right.
Yeah, it's, you know, everybody's busy. Everybody tells me how much they love it, and then they don't write a review. I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
Because reviews help. I mean, the way the Google algorithms work is that, you know, the more good reviews you get, the more, you know, the more it pops up as soon as you put in Supernova or Rob Knapp. I mean, I have pretty good numbers, but, you know,
right.
I showed up, you know, last week as the number one book on Amazon in investments.
Really?
It's not even about investments, but it won that category, you know.
Huh.
So, and that's a really good thing. Because then people look, you know.
Sure.
They give you a little star beside it, you know, number one.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go, right.
It is
awesome.
But, it
so
is
you
awesome.
Like it? No,
I do.
Like
so I like it. I think it's good. And, you know, but again, after reading it, I said, holy shit, I got so much more work to do, Rob, to be honest with you. Because I relate myself to one of those, you know, in your early chapters where you say, you know, a lot of people do it, but then, you know, don't take the whole next steps. I mean, I still have a lot of work to do with Supernova. I'm really not, I don't have a pipeline of 90 people. I may have them in my head, but they're not, I'm not actively, you know, working on them. And I'm saying, holy shit, I still got a lot to do. So I think it's good to revisit, and it helps, you know, just seeing some of the other ones, because we've done an amazing job of servicing our current clients, you know, attracting new clients. In fact, we just got a nice $1 million rollover from a guy who's actually the chiropractor for the 76ers. And
nice.
Yeah, and he's also well connected, but he came to a tennis event that I did 5 years ago. No, seriously. And it was one of those things that he just, anyway, I was in his head, you know, he said, man, I love that event you did a couple, you know, this was 5 years ago. And he never really acted. He goes, we should talk sometime. And so then I started to go see him because I had a pinched nerve in my neck a couple years ago. And he was able to, the only guy that was able to really give me relief on it, and it fixed it. And so every time we're in the office, we talk, and he finally said, you know, Rick, he said, I think, you know, it's time. So this, in January, he said, can you take a look at this? And I did, and he just said, you know, whatever. He was really underperforming and not doing a good job, and the guy wasn't doing much for him. And so we literally just transferred it all over here in the last 2 weeks.
Nice.
Yeah, but there's, again, this is something because he had a good thought from what we did from that tennis event.
Sure.
But it took time. When he, you know, it wasn't like, you know, we didn't beat him up right away, but he, you know, he wasn't ready to move either.
Well, when he was, you incubated him. You know, that's what you do. It's okay. You can, you know, you can put people in a 4-1 rotation. If you think they have money, let's say that it's one of Sam's friends, right?
Right.
You put him in a 4-1. You make him a butler. And you talk to him 4 times a year. And once a year, you get together with him in person. So you take him to lunch. And you do that for, you know, you can do that for years. That doesn't
so
mean to be sick. That doesn't
that's
mean
what I wasn't
saying.
Doing. That's what, you know, so when I'm looking at like I said, I felt like, again, when I'm reading it, I felt like intimidated again. It's like, holy shit, I'm not doing this. But that whole bit about, I probably have 90 people in my head, but I'm not dripping on them enough, or like you said, this butler type thing. That would more formalize, which I got to do.
You can put the butlers into your calendar, just like you can clients. Okay, just like you drop a client in, you get 12-4-2 on it.
Right.
You can put in the prospects in a 4-1. And I mean, you can do a 12-4-2 with your prospects
right.
too if they're hot, right? You go from cool to warm to hot, right?
Right.
And
yeah.
So if they're hot, you want to be on them every month or maybe even every week. Until you close, and but with the butlers, you know, we did this. The best example I ever saw was a guy that was the CEO of an insurance company in Indianapolis, well known, you know. He moved to town, became the CEO. These guys had been doing business with other people in the company. They're introduced. He didn't have any money. He literally had no money. I mean,
wow.
he had money, but he didn't have the kind of money that would meet their minimums.
Right.
So they just did a 4-1 on him for 2 years.
Huh.
So they talked to him every quarter, and they got their plans all organized, and his first deposit was $24
million. Wow. So... actually, so then really, even these tennis contacts I have, if I'm playing tennis with them, you know, once a quarter or you know, something like that, and just casually talking about stuff, but then, you know, once a year, even just sitting down and going over their, you know, try to go over their stuff.
Yeah, go over their stuff. Yeah, go over their stuff with them.
Huh. Well, that's got to be a focus. Now, here's one of my other things I was going to ask you about. So with Dave, I'm telling you, I love him. And the reason we attracted was because of the energy we have together. And he's got a lot. I mean, he not only matches mine, he can exceed it. And he's hungry and ready. And so what we're doing with him, we're not using We're using him to go after my leads and contacts in my book of business.
Good.
And that's, I mean, do you think that's the best way to utilize him?
Well, you've got a gold mine there. Either you do it or he does it. Somebody's
right.
Do it.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
So leveraging him to do that would probably be okay. What do you think about, I mean, like, since these are all my contacts, is like having him trying to set up, you know, the meetings and stuff like that. I know Margaret does it, but for all my clients and everything, but should she do it for the prospects too?
Yes.
Okay. So we could just
sometimes it takes, you know, if it's just setting an appointment, it's great. You know, you met with Rick, you met with Rob over the weekend. He said he wanted to get together with you. I'm just calling to see what would be a convenient time for you to have lunch. Okay? That's different than prospecting him. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if you've agreed that this is you're going to meet, then it's, you know, let me have, you know, my person.
Yeah. Right. So call it my Margaret will be calling you to set something up, blah blah blah.
Right.
So tell me about, so now talk about prospecting again, because like I said, I mean that's an area that I just gotta get better at. So what are you saying about, you know, with prospecting versus just what you just said?
Okay, so they're your friends and your, you know, your opportunities. The best person to call is you.
Okay.
Okay? Because you know. The second best person would be Dave.
Okay.
The third best person would be Margaret.
Right.
Okay? So, you know, when you don't have time or they're not, you don't think they're big enough or you think that they're not warm enough, Dave can prospect.
Mm-hmm. Okay, because that's where I get stuck on, you know, because I don't follow up as much and, you know, do that, to be very honest
right.
with you. You know, like I said, I think even when I you know, I let things
I
come
understand.
To me.
Right.
And you,
look at me, Rick. I mean, I'm worse than you are. Okay?
No way.
No, but, it you know, there's a problem with me. I don't want to work more than 2 days, and I'm full. So
right.
when it comes to prospecting, it's almost against my best interest to prospect.
Right. Yeah. True.
You know what I mean? It's kind of
yeah.
weird. It's
yeah.
It's sort of when I'm doing it, I have fun doing it, and I love closing.
Yeah.
But I know that if I keep doing it, I'm going to end up eating up one of my free days, which I don't want to do.
Right. Well,
okay.
We're not at that point. I'm not at that point. We want to still grow.
Right.
Because I have more leverage now with Dave.
You just think you got to make it a little bit more of a psychological adventure for yourself. Where it's do you know how the endorphins you get from working out, they just make you feel good?
Absolutely.
And you like to win a tennis match, but it's the playing of the game that matters.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
If you were unhappy every time you lost, you wouldn't continue to play tennis.
Right.
Right? It'd be too hard on you. So you enjoy it either way. That's the way you've got to get about prospecting.
So it's really that, like getting back to earlier, it's that mindset. So what did you call that, the false premise? What was the thing you said, MSU?
MSU, making stuff up. You got an advanced degree from MSU.
My God. Yeah, because I do. I have some kind of a freaking block in there that, now, you know, I'm trying to think, is it ego? Is it pride? Is it, what is this block that's, you know, making it difficult for me? As you said, I love the competition of tennis. I love the working out. I love just all the other stuff. But there's this little mental block about going out there and just, you know, trying to ask for business.
Well, and part of it is, you know, people, when they get on boards of directors, they say to the president, I will do anything on the board except raise money.
Right. Yeah, because very few people can ask.
And that's exactly what you're doing. See?
Yeah.
You're asking for money.
Right.
And so it takes courage to do it. It's an adventure every time you do it. And you got to just think of it as a way to make new friends. We used to call it not fundraising, but friend making.
Yeah.
And that's the mentality you got to be. You know, if I don't end up with him as a client, he's going to be a friend.
Yeah. And that's the thing, too. I mean, when I'm out, I love doing that stuff.
I love to connect, and you're actually good at it. You're really good, and you do ask. I mean, I've heard you.
But it's not a regular part of my routine, and it's like, I guess you're right. It's just a confidence, not a confidence, it's a comfort of getting that just so it's completely – I'm great on asking for somebody else. Yeah, whether I'm on a board, if I'm doing something, I'm great at that.
Well, then sell Dave.
Yeah. Interesting.
Sell financial planning and sell Dave as a financial planner. You know, you should really have finance. I mean, the reality is,
yeah,
these guys should all do extensive financial planning before they get this money.
Yeah.
They shouldn't do it after. Right?
Yeah.
The worst thing is to get $25 million or $100 million and not have done estate planning.
Yeah.
Then it goes to you. Then it has to go to them. Now you've just screwed yourself.
Yeah.
In terms of passing on money to the next generation, assuming you want to. So that's what you tell people. Look, you need to do financial planning. I sell financial planning. We have a great team that does it. We'd love for you to do it with us. But if you don't do it with us, do it with someone. And do it now. Do it now before you have these issues so that you have the pots to put the money in. And you know where it's going. It's going to give you tremendous peace of mind.
Yeah. No, I agree. So maybe that is my answer, you know, because this is what's new. And it's the team. It's Dave. It's the planning and everything that we're doing. And if we and I tell people, that's what we do, the first thing we do. It's like when I told this new client just came on board. I said, everything starts with a plan. And I said, how we invest is going to be according to your plan. Because he was all over the place. And
right. They all are. I mean, look, I've got friends who are wealthy that are still all over the place.
Really?
Sure. Do you know how much, Rick? Okay. Somebody asked me the other day, of your estate planning, what was the most beneficial to you? Okay. Now, I did it all for myself, which I really recommend you do this. You should do this for yourself now, okay? And the reason I tell you to do it is so that you can own it. Zig Ziglar said you can't sell the pots and pans unless you own them. Okay? So Rob Knapp at age 50 did all of his estate planning. Not because he had a big estate, but because he wanted to know what it felt like to own it.
Right. Okay.
Okay. So I started a family foundation. I created a dynasty trust.
Yeah.
I did a charitable remainder trust. What else did I do? Well, I put all my one of the things I did was put everything in corporate names. All my accounts in corporate names. Interestingly enough, you might want to check with your accountant, but because I did that, I think I can deduct, at least my CPA told me, I can deduct all of my fees that you would charge me.
Really? Because right now you can't anymore.
You can't. Yeah, well, she said I can because I'm incorporated.
Wow.
It's Knapp Investments.
Okay.
That's the title of my account.
Okay.
Okay.
Interesting.
So I don't know how long that loophole will exist, but at least it's there
right now,
and Rob will be able to deduct, you know, and these guys are paying $50,000, $60,000, $100,000 in fees. They can't deduct it anymore. That's a pain.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. So you want to – so anyway – my point is that the Family Foundation has been a very important part of our family dynamics. It has multiple benefits, well beyond the money. It has helped me pass on my values through the use of my capital to my children.
Hmm.
And so one of the questions you want to ask these guys is, how are you using or how do you plan on using your money to pass on your values to your children?
I'm writing this down.
It's the best question I think I've ever come up with. Well, I've got one other one that I think is just as good.
Yeah, because this, I mean, now these guys, I mean, they're going from, you know, just having, you know, 5 million, 8 million to 20 plus. And now they obviously have excess money that they're not going to.
They'll have 100 million, Rick. They're going to have 100 million, okay?
Wow.
Now, when you have 100 million, you're in a different world, okay?
Yeah.
And you can screw up your kids.
Yeah.
Look at
just like yesterday with all these colleges, right?
Exactly. Now, you tell me that money wasn't the reason that these people – see, it was all about the Benjamins. It was – they got their
–
the money screwed up their values.
Yeah.
Instead, you should use your money to enhance your values.
Yeah.
So how are you going to use your money to pass on your values to your children? And you know what the question is going to be out of their mouth? What the heck are you talking about?
Yeah.
See, that's the kind of question that leads to a discussion. And you know what you say to them? We should have lunch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's have lunch and I'll explain what I've done for myself and for others and how it's really changed their lives. And protected them from the stuff like this stuff that's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So one of our values is philanthropy, right? Helping others.
Mm-hmm.
One of our values is education. You know, you lift people up through education. You don't lift them up by giving them money. You educate them, teach them to fish.
Yeah.
Right? So,
but there's an example yesterday. I mean, those kids, whether it wasn't philanthropy and they weren't educating their kids, they were, I mean, they screwed them up.
The kids will never be the same. Those families will never be the same.
Right.
I mean, how the hell did they go from being CEO of a major corporation to jail?
Wow. Seriously. The values got all messed up. That's the bottom line.
They didn't. I mean, they would. I mean, you know, for you and me, this wouldn't even be in the game, right?
No.
Right? I mean, we wouldn't even think about doing that.
Right.
But what happens is this. It's like cheating on your taxes. You start a little here and a little there. And all of a sudden, you're in over your head.
Yeah.
So what, you know, the idea of, you know what, if I give $1 million to the university, you know, that probably will help my son get in, right?
Yeah.
And that, by the way, does work, unfortunately.
Sure. Yeah.
So now it's a question of, the guy says, look, you can give $1 million to the university, but I think I've got a side door to help you. Instead of $1 million, I think I can do it for $100,000. And that's where the greed comes in.
Yeah.
See? And they go, oh, how are you going to do that? Don't ask. I'll take care of it.
Yeah.
You just give me the $100,000. I got a friend at the university, and I give him a little bit of it.
You know,
think about it, right? The guy might not even know where the money went.
Right. They didn't. It is sick.
They're going to jail.
My whole motto is do the right thing. And
oh,
this
my
way
God.
I could sleep at night. I do the right thing for my clients. You know, when I say I do prayer and meditation in the morning, that I can be a humble and prudent steward of my clients' money. And to not get caught up with that. I just read this book, The Billion Dollar Whale, something, whatever it was, about this Malaysian money. The guy holy.
Goldman Sachs, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't read it yet.
I would recommend it. It's a good book. I mean, it's a little tough when they start talking about all these different people, but it was total fraud. And this was way before Goldman got involved in it. And Goldman, and again, it was just greed on their part. So, anyway, and then the next book I just picked up, because my goal was to read more books this year, and I read your book already, but I picked it up last night. I just started reading it as the Ken Langone, CEO of Home Depot.
Yeah.
And
right.
And I just started going, and I mean, he came from very humble beginnings, worked his buns off, but again, just wanted to do the right thing. And he actually worked on Wall Street early on. And but it's – holy shit. But I guess it comes down to it. Trust and integrity are the one things that you can't buy. And you could, and if you have that, people – that's what I
but
think.
You need people around you to check your judgment periodically, okay?
Yeah.
Because look, we're fallible human beings.
Yep.
I mean, just look how easy it was for these people to move from just here to here to here to here, and all of a sudden they're in deep shit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where you need a financial advisor. You need friends. You need your priest. You need your family. You need people that you trust. And you need to check yourself periodically and say, whoa, wait a minute. I feel uncomfortable with this.
Yeah.
Did I feel uncomfortable? Yes. Okay?
Yeah.
But anyway, I think this is where you can be a huge help to these people, okay? You can be their coach. You can be their life coach, more than just their financial advisor, by teaching them the benefits of a family foundation and what will mean, because you bring the family together at least once a year. Do you know how many families – I mean, I'll guarantee you and I can get into a conversation quickly about – families that are so screwed up and nobody talks to each other.
Totally.
Brothers don't talk to brothers. Sisters don't talk to sisters. Why? Because they have no reason to talk. Okay.
Yeah.
And they something tiny went wrong, and they just don't talk to each other. My brothers didn't talk for 3 years. I didn't talk to one of my youngest brother for 10 years. He has some issues. Now we're very close. The whole family is close. I don't want my daughter and my son to ever run into those issues, so we put them on the board.
Wow!
You know, give them responsibilities. They have to talk. They have to work out a policy statement, investment policy statement. They have to do this stuff. They have to learn and they have to work together. So it's a great opportunity for them to. You know, be together and to stay together and to share value. And they have to convince each other that the charities that they want to give to are good for the whole family, that they protect our, you know, they're aligned with our values. So they have great charities that they give to, and they're very involved, and they, you know, it's all the things you want from your kids, but
yeah.
You can kind of direct it.
No, this is good stuff, Rob. So, yeah, I have to leave in a couple minutes because I got to be down in Philly.
Yeah.
I think I told you I'm on the investment committee for our Archdiocese of Philadelphia. And yeah, it's really been an interesting thing. Talk about when I got on this investment committee like, I don't know, 8 or 9 years ago, and talk about something that was screwed up. And they're managing like, I don't know, like $900 million. And
yeah.
It was so dysfunctional. And then it was like, everything was a secret. You can't, don't ask. And this almost reflected, you know, unfortunately, what the Catholic Church was going through, that no, we don't let anybody in on this. Well, they got so screwed up, and you could see why some of the, you know, scandals with the, you know, the priests and everything happened. But I have to say, it's very open and transparent now. A new archbishop, when he came in, he just said, no, we're opening things up. We're going to, you know, it's fun. It's been a good experience because we did the right thing. I was a part of it, and things have been opened up. But now they're still going through, you know, some of these issues of all the lawsuits against the priests and stuff like that. And
so sad. You talk about that, right?
Totally. But you can see, even like, you know, the church, who, you know, practices, you know, with the values and the morals and everything else. I mean, human beings can get off track. And
right,
you know,
I mean, and people knew.
Oh,
you know,
God, yeah.
People,
but they didn't talk. They didn't talk. I mean, it's almost like they didn't open. I don't know. I mean, it was a closed system. It was not an open system. I'm just talking the investment side without even, you know, everything else. But anyway, it was a good experience for me. So I actually look forward to this. And yeah, we go out. We do this. You know, we have, you know, 3-4 hours. We meet all the different advisors that come in. So I'm on the other side of the table on this one. And
yeah,
I've learned a lot from it too. So it's actually a very good. It's been a good experience. So I have to head down there in a couple minutes. So
all right. Well, I'll let you go, my friend.
We will do. I'm going to get Dave, Emily, and myself to do a review for you.
Okay. Good.
All right.
Yeah, that's really good. I like. You know, start writing them down, the 90 names. Just start building your pipeline.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to be doing.
Okay.
I mean, I have names, so I just got to build this pipeline so we can formally follow up with them.
Right, and then just work them down the pipeline.
All right, you got it.
All right.
So the other thing, I'm going to open it to you. June 7th, Philly Cricket. If you're interested.
Yes. I got it down.
All right, good. Because I'm telling you, this is your baby. This is the one you hatched last year. We just, you know, followed through with it.
Awesome.
All right, Rob.
All right, congratulations. You're doing great. All right, thanks, buddy.
See you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.